Welcome, everybody, who is here in person and those joining us online this evening. And I'll go ahead and wish you Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm Pastor James Murdoch, if you haven't met me before, of Here's Hope Church. Want to welcome you joyfully, and always a humble thing to say this, welcome you humbly in Jesus' name. Want to thank you for joining us for the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. This is the first time that we have done this. Lord willing, maybe the first of many. So we'll see what he has for us. I hope so. As we get started tonight, I wanted to bring up something that was kind of special. A couple nights ago, the Bethlehem Star, they were calling it. Did you guys see that? It was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn two or three nights ago in the sky. It was really cool. We got to see that. But they called it the Bethlehem Star, you know, because it was, like, bright. And it's in the sky, like, in the nativity story. But it's been like 800 years since those came together at night here for, you know, people to see. So it's kind of a, like, more than once in a lifetime, like once in every 10, 12 lifetimes to see something like that. And as I looked at that the other night, Kim and I were with our granddaughter and saw that in the sky from Bob Evans' parking lot. And which is really cool because, you know, she's our granddaughter's too. She's not going to remember, but we can tell her. We did a selfie too, so I can prove it, that she saw it. You know, she can tell maybe her grandkids about that someday. But I thought about that, how God used a light in the sky to draw people, to guide people to Jesus, to bring them there to Bethlehem, to that stable, and how God keeps using light to bring people to Jesus. In Matthew 4:16, the Bible tells us that the people living in darkness, and if you don't know, that's this world, and that's like 7 billion people hanging out here. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. They've seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus, the light of the world, bringing life and light. And it's my prayer, it's been my prayer today for this service, that God's going to use his word. The Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And man, we need that. And so I'm just hoping and praying and believing, trusting that God's going to use his word tonight as we share his word to guide us to Jesus and to reveal Christ to us and to help us to worship him more tonight. So I'm excited for what he's got for us. You know, it is a good news of great joy that we're celebrating. It's a good news of hope and salvation, and a light in the darkness that we all are desperately in need of today. So it's customary to open the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols with traditional bidding prayer. That's not an auction thing, so don't bid. I don't know if you... we're inviting the Lord to have his way and his will here tonight. It's an Anglican thing. This service comes out of an Anglican tradition from over 100 years ago. So I'm going to read this bidding prayer for us and share this. And then together, I want to invite you to say the Lord's Prayer, to pray the Lord's Prayer with me tonight. So we'll do that in unison. So if you would please go ahead and, if you are able to rise, if you would stand with me for the bidding prayer, and then remain standing and we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Beloved in Christ, this Christmas Eve, it is our duty and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, and to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem, and to see this thing which has come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us hear again from Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our sin until the glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child. And let us make this house of prayer glad with carols of praise. But first, because of all things, this would rejoice the heart of Jesus. Let us pray to him for the needs of the whole world and for all his people, for peace upon the earth that he came to save, for love and unity within the one church he did build, and for goodwill among all peoples. And particularly at this time, let us remember the poor, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick, and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who do not know the Lord Jesus, or who do not love him yet, or who by their sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, let us remember all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore, in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom, in this Lord Jesus, we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer to the throne of heaven in the words that Christ himself has taught us. Please join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated.
You unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come. No, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is Lord. Christ is Lord. Christ is born for us.
God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
Christ was born. God promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22, 1 through 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountains of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba.
Veni, veni, Emmanuel, captive in survey Israel, Quidem in exilio, privatus defilio. Gaude, gaude, Emmanuel, nascitu pro te Israel. Spirits try thy best.
sudden becomes a light, and tears dark shadows through to fight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to heal Israel. To misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
Israel. The third lesson, Christ's birth and kingdom foretold by Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, 2 through 7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide in spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning the fuel of fire. For unto a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Angels sing, glory to the new. Micah 5, 2 through 5. The prophet Micah foretells the glory of little Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, are the only small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace.
Lesson, the angel Gabriel salutes the Virgin Mary announcing Christ's holy birth. And the scripture is Luke 1, 26 through 35. Anyway. till the end. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to give to a, sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Oh, rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Oh, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "Oh, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her, for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said then, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you. Jesus' birth is recorded in Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it came to pass, while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
reading from Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom this favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Angels, we have heard arise, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Shepherds in the fields abiding, tell us when the Spirit cried. Greeted you with wondrous tiding, what you saw and heard that night. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. We beheld in his fable God incarnate, King of Prince, swathed and cradled in a stable, and the angel's train was this. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. And see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria, in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo.
Matthew 2:1-12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Out of the depths of silent night, our burden's great. The night is long and hope seems faint. You came to set the captives free, a morning star of joy and peace. Does this darkness feel so deep? Why can't our weary spirit see? Glory, glory.
The ninth lesson, John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation, John 1:1-14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing grace and truth, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
Sorry. Fortunately, this is a joy song and not like a real somber song. So we'll just, okay, one, two, and.
Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While beards and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations rule. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed Holy One. Joy, 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 the Lord has come. Joy, 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 the blessed
blessed Holy One, once more and joy, joy, joy. The Lord has come, joy, joy, joy. The blessed Holy One.
Oh, Father God, I thank you so much that we have reason for joy, God. We have joy in the manger because we see our Savior being born, God. We have joy in suffering because we see that there is purpose for those of us who know you, God, that we're not left alone and wondering, you know, why is this happening to me? But God, we see the way that you change us and you mold us and you morph us in more into the image of Christ. God, we see joy in the return of Christ that this song is all about, God, because that means that everything's going to be fixed and restored and all of the sin problems will be gone. Father, we see joy in the resurrection of Christ because that means that we have new life and that we can look forward to life with Christ forever and that the old things have passed away and that the new has come. God, thank you that there are so many reasons for joy in a world where our joy feels like it gets beaten out of us so much, God. Help us not to get lost in all of the junk, but to cling to the reasons that we have for joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in his powerful name. Amen. I think you can be seated for just a minute. Am I supposed to talk now? I think I am. Yeah. On your way in, hopefully you received a candle with a little cardboard ring on it that is not packaging material. Daryl, can you show me your thumb real fast? Show people your thumb, okay? All right, if you take the paper off your candle, this is what happens. So don't take the paper off your candle, okay? That's to catch the west, to catch the... Don't be Daryl, yes. No, that's really not what happened. But that did take care of his thumb-sucking problem, so we're thankful for that. But yeah, and don't, yeah, so keep your candle upright, don't pour it on yourself or anybody else, and that'll all be good. And we're going to have Mark and Pastor James are going to come around with fire, and they're going to get your candle started. It's not that dark outside right now, but at the same time, we know that it is dark outside. You know, we see that every day in the news, that there is a lot of darkness. And a lot of times we look and we say, but, you know, I'm just one little light. I'm just one little light. What difference can I make? And what's happening right now is a pretty good illustration of what difference you can make, because if you don't hoard your light, if you don't keep it to yourself, and you pass it down to the person next to you, then that person has a light. You pass it down, that person passes it down to the person next to them, and that person has a light. And pretty soon, as the light of the gospel permeates more and more individual little lights that can't possibly make a difference, suddenly it feels like we're making a difference, because it gets brighter and brighter and brighter as the light of the gospel goes from one person to the next person, to the next person, and to the next person. And that gospel all began on a quiet night with the God of creation putting on a human body, taking on the physical limitations of a human body, of a baby, being simultaneously creator of everything that we see, and a helpless baby in the care of a mother and guardian father, and placed in a feeding trough as far away from heaven as you can possibly get, in a trough meant to feed animals. And he did that out of love for you and love for me, so that he could grow up to become our sin and to go to a cross and become our punishment, take our punishment for us, so that we would never, ever, ever have to experience what he experienced on our behalf, separation from Father God. That is the significance of that silent night. And so I'm going to kill my mic, and we'll just sing together the first verse of Silent Night. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for accepting Jesus' invitation to celebrate his birthday tonight and coming here and worshiping him together as his family. What a blessed time. I want to wish you all a wonderful Merry Christmas, full of hope and joy and peace and his love. In your bulletins, there's a connection card. If you have a prayer request or if there's something you heard tonight that maybe sparked something that you had a question about, maybe for the first time, a decision to follow Jesus Christ, we would love to help you with that. You know, God gave his best gift in giving us his son, and the only gift he wants back is you to give him your heart. So if you'd like to do that this year, we'd love to help you out. Just fill out that connection card or just see me after the service, and we'd love to help you with that. So we love you guys. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas.